Be here. Thank you very, very much. I'm going to start by just reading you a couple verses to let you know where we're going tonight. And then I need to pray. We're going to start in Luke chapter 18. Jesus is talking about a parable teaching his disciples the importance of prayer. He says, there was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her. Lest by her continual coming she weary me." Then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect? Who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them. Now usually when we read that passage, we stop there. And we encourage each other to keep praying. And pray more. And pray more. With the encouragement that God will answer. But I want us to listen to what Jesus says next. He says, even though your father will answer, he says, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Jesus is saying, when I come back, am I really going to find any faith? That ought to cause us to say, Jesus, what do you mean? Surely you will find faith. But Jesus says, I don't know if I will. And I'm glad I'm talking to pastors tonight. And leaders. And committed members. Because we hold the responsibility for taking forward the faith to ensure that it's there. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. Paul is talking to young Timothy, a pastor. Be ready in season and out of season. Convict, rebuke, exhort. With all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. Listen, the time is coming, and perhaps is here right now, when the church no longer wants to hear the truth. And we have got to take the responsibility to stand up and preach the truth. In Jude, verse 3, Jude writes, "Beloved, while I was diligent to write to you, concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered." Jude says, "I wanted to come to you and I wanted to just rejoice." Jude says, "I wanted to come and just say, let's rejoice." Let's talk about our joy of our salvation. But he said, "I couldn't." He said, "The Spirit has prompted me that I need to tell you that you must contend for the faith. You must fight for the faith." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity to speak your words tonight. Mighty God, I pray that these would be your words and not mine. I pray, Lord, that I would be out of your way and allow your Spirit to work here tonight. We give you this time. And we ask, Lord God, that you open up hearts to allow your Spirit in to minister, that lives would be changed and people would live for you each and every day from this day forward. Amen.
Amen.
Before I start, I realize that there is a danger. There's a danger in me coming here. Because I'm the man from the West. And I'm coming here and I want to bring the Word of God. But I don't want to bring anything else. I don't want to bring anything else from the West into here. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses had left Egypt and he had gone and he was a shepherd. And remember, as he was wandering, he saw a bush that was on fire but didn't burn. And out of that burning bush, the Lord spoke. And the first thing that the Lord said, he said, "Moses, remove your sandals. Because the place that you are standing is holy." And Moses removed his sandals. Moses had been wandering with the sheep and goats. And Moses' sandals probably had a lot of goat stuff. And the Lord said, don't bring that here. So I come to you from the west, carrying a lot of junk from the west. So before I start, I take off my sandals because this place is holy. I do not want you to become like the West. The West does church. In many ways, not honoring to God. So I want to bring you tonight the Word of God and the pure Word of God, and ask that you keep this place holy. I believe God has a powerful message. Even though it's a simple message, that we need to speak to pastors and leaders to contend and fight for the faith. That involves two things. The first is understanding what it means to be a pastor. The second is understanding what the faith really is. First, what it means to be a pastor. In John chapter 13, where's the pastor? Where's the pastor? Oh, sir. Bring him up here. Oh, no, bring him up. Oh, bring him up. I need one of the pastors that's here. Be brave. In John chapter 13, Jesus was with his disciples, and he knew that he was getting ready to die. And it says that Jesus knew where he had come from. Jesus knew that he had been sent by his Father. And it says that Jesus knew where he was going. There's a whole sermon just in that. Of us needing to know that God has called us and where we are going. And that through that there is so much self-confidence. There is so much confidence in our relationship with God. That we can truly humble ourselves. And Jesus said, I am going to give you an example of how to truly serve. And in John chapter 13, we read about Jesus. Kneeling down to his disciples. And washing their feet. God bless. Thank you. The creator of the universe humbled himself and washed the disciples' feet. And he says, this is the example that I want you to have. This is what it means to serve. This is what it means to be a pastor. This is what it means to be a leader. Jesus says, no greater love has any man than that he laid down his life for his brother. Jesus is calling the leaders and pastors to lay down their life and serve. Thank you very much. Second, we need to understand what the faith really is. If we are called to contend for the faith, we must understand what that really means. We must vow to preach Christ and Him crucified. Jesus must be in all of our preaching and teaching. But we must understand why He came. And I challenge you tonight to understand why Jesus really came. Because this is the faith. This is the faith for which we contend. And we cannot understand the faith without committing ourselves to being in the Word of God. The message of the faith is contained all through His Word. We start in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Do we really even know why we were created? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God has created everything else. Then in verse 26 he says, let us make man in our own image. So God made man in His own image. Verse 28. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Subdue the world that I've created for you. Have dominion over the world. But do not be dominated by the world. In chapter 2, verse 7, it tells about when the Lord formed man. He breathed into him and gave him life. Now what we're looking at in these verses in Genesis is the original relationship between God and man. We're looking at the reason why we were created. In chapter 2, verse 18, And the Lord said, it is not good for man that he should be alone. I will make a helper for him. And we know what God does. We've heard that that helper was woman. And we praise God for woman. Amen. We need to look at the verses between when God said that and when God created woman. Because God said it is not good for the man to be alone. And in verse 19, we hear a God say, it says, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field. And every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Why do I talk about that? Because I want you to see a God who cares. I want you to see a God who loves. A God who created man to love him in return. A God who created a relationship. God saw that it wasn't good for man to be alone. So he came over and he made something out of the ground. And this was an animal and it had a long neck. And he brought this over to Adam and he says, Adam, what do you want to call it? And Adam said, let's call it a giraffe. And God made something else. And when he made it, the animal went, and God said, Adam, what should we call this? And Adam said, let's call it a lion. But it's a God who loves. And it's a God who's in a relationship. And then the saddest thing in all the Bible happens. God had given one command. He said, you can eat anything you want to in this garden. But do not eat the fruit of one tree. But they ate, didn't they? They ate the fruit. And we have to understand what that did. That was sin. It was sin in Adam's life. It was sin in Eve's life. But that one event brought sin into all the world. That one sin brought sin to America. That one sin brought sin to Kenya. And that one sin caused this relationship that God had formed. It caused that relationship to be broken. And God had to look at His creation. And He had to say to man and woman, you must leave my presence. But the story doesn't end. Because all the rest of the Bible, all the rest From Genesis chapter 3 to the very end of Revelation is God calling us back. Calling us back. Says, come back and love me. Come back and be with me. Come back and be restored into a relationship. When Moses led the people out of Egypt, he brought them up to Mount Sinai. And at Mount Sinai, God made a covenant. That means that God made an agreement. He said, here's how we can be restored. Here's my laws. Here's my commands. Here's my method of sacrifices. And if you keep those, then we can be restored. But they didn't keep the commands. They started doing things and doing things. After a couple hundred years, they were doing the sacrifices. They bring the sacrifices to God. And here's what God says. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11. He says, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me? He says, I've had enough of your burnt offerings. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs and goats. You see, something had happened to their religious system. They were doing all the right things, but they had missed the real heart of God's message. In Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, says, inasmuch as these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but they have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandments of men. God was saying, you're going through the motions of worship, but you have missed the real heart. And as we continue to read in the Old Testament, we hear God saying, I'm going to make a new covenant. A new covenant that is not like the old covenant. Because I'm going to give my people a new heart. I'm going to take their heart of stone. And I'm going to give them a heart of flesh. And I'm going to give them my spirit to compel them to obey my command. Do we know what that new covenant is? In Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus is sitting with the disciples at what we call the Last Supper, he pours out the wine And he says, this is my blood of the new covenant. Jesus says, I am the new covenant. Now what does that mean? Again, what is the purpose of Jesus? Romans chapter 5. Starting in verse 8. But God demonstrates His love. In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Now listen carefully. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved in His life. Reconciliation means to be restored. That is the single reason why Jesus came. We say He died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And that is true. But the purpose was to provide a way to take what was broken and to restore it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now all things are of God. We're starting in verse 18. Who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. There is only one way to God. One way to be restored. Jesus in John 14. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way. You see, in our churches, in everything that we do, we have to stress the reconciliation with God. And we're going to talk just a little bit about what that means. Because if we don't talk about reconciliation, we treat the sacrifice of Jesus as an event that we can say we believe and then walk away. We say that we believe and we will walk with Him on Sunday morning, but not on Monday morning, not on Tuesday morning. Jesus can have our Sunday, But no more? That was never the reason for his sacrifice. The purpose of his sacrifice was so that we could be restored to the relationship that God created. That relationship began with being created in His image. So if we are walking in a relationship, we must ask ourselves, are we being conformed to the image of Christ? Are we acting the way Jesus would act? Are we saying what Jesus would say? Are we thinking what Jesus would think? Not just on Sunday morning, but every single day. Listen. God did not send His Son to die on a cross so that we can give Him 2 hours a week. He sent His Son to die so that we could walk with Him with every step. We can't continue to walk the way that the world walks. We have to confront sin in our church. We have to teach what it means to walk holy. We have to talk about purity. We have to talk about what it means to be faithful in a marriage. We need to talk about what it means to raise godly children. Because this is the way Jesus would live. God gave life to His creation by breathing into Him. After Jesus was crucified, Jesus came back to see His disciples. And He's sitting with them. And He breathes on them. And He says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He has given us the Holy Spirit to guide us, to comfort us, to teach us in the way of truth. If we are walking in that relationship, we must walk each step in step with the Spirit. Finally, we saw the fellowship that God desired. We saw God caring for His creation. We saw God recognizing His needs. We saw God supplying His needs. And even after the sin, we hear about God walking in the garden. Listen. God wants to walk with us each and every moment, each and every step, each and every day. This is a relationship with God. Now, this is what it means to be saved. Salvation is not a ticket that we receive to give a judgment so that we go to heaven and not hell. Salvation begins today. Salvation is a relationship now and for all eternity.
Oh yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We are called to that as pastors. We are called to that as teachers and as leaders. We are called first for ourselves. To be in an honest and true relationship with God. Through an unshakable faith in the sacrifice of Jesus. For the forgiveness of our sins. And we must determine ourselves to walk with determination. To walk without compromise. To trust Him in all things. No matter how things shake. No matter what pulls us. As a leader, we must walk the walk. Then, and only then, do we stand in front of others and teach the faith. Because it must come from the heart. People are dying for the truth. They are longing for the truth. And you need to show them the truth. Yes, with your words. But also with your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that your Spirit has been here tonight. And we pray that you are continuing to move even now to create a commitment in your people in these pastors, in these leaders, in these dedicated servants, creating a commitment to follow you. And Father, as we pray, I ask that you would strengthen them to make that commitment right now in front of their brothers and, more importantly, in front of you, to take a stand that will not be shaken from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.